I shared on Wednesday night that when I was a kid, my parents would let me listen into their conversations. Yes, I was 8, 9, 10, especially when visitors came over to the house. And I could literally sit there and listen for hours. 1, 2, 3 hours. I couldn't give my opinion about what was going on, but I could listen. I could listen and learn from the points that were being made. The discussion's family. The discussion, home, family, church. And I was able to just glean all this information that was being shared between two adults. And in my mind, I think these pictures of people, places, and situations just took a life of its own as I listened to what they were sharing. I believe that the Bible is basically lots of conversations that God has had throughout history with humankind. Men, women, children speaking with God. And God says, here, I want you to listen. I want you to learn from these experiences. I want you to know. And the story that I am sharing with you today is a story between a man and a woman, a conversation that happened in a very peculiar place and a very unique time in history. A story that took place in Samaria, according to verse 4, and specifically in verse 5, in the city of Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. The conversation was between Jesus, a Jewish man, and a woman, and specifically a Samaritan woman. The setting tells us that Jesus was there, weary from his journey, verse 6, sat on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Now, time in those days was counted like this. What we would call 6 a.m. was hour 1, hour 2, hour 3, hour 4, hour 5, hour 6 would be what time for us? Noon. Hottest time of the day. Now, if you've ever been to a country where there's no AC, you know that you're not out in the streets at noon, 1 or 2. You're actually having a siesta. That's right. Impossible to work out there. You're just draining all the energy that you have at that time. So basically what you do is you look for a cool place inside the house and you talk and you rest and you eat. But stores are closed. People are not walking around on the streets. It's just too hot. And the disciples who had come with Jesus, who were on this journey going from Judea up to Galilee, they had to go through Samaria. Or what many of them would do is, you know what, we're not going through Samaria. We're just going to go the long route. And they would just go around the cities that were in that area of Samaria to get up to Galilee. But Jesus, he wanted to take the short route. The quick route. That meant spending some time in Sychar by this well, while the disciples went out and were now looking for food. No stores probably were open. They were knocking on doors of people who said, "What in the world are you doing here? You don't belong here." And they were like, "We're just wanting to buy some food." "Food? Well, it's going to cost you this much." And they knew it didn't cost that much. But again, they were not from that area. And they were going to pay it and bring it back to Jesus. Another person appears in the scene, and this is in verse 7. "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water." A woman at noon drawing water? You could tell she did not want to see anybody. And I don't know about you, but when you don't want to see, or when I don't want to see somebody, it's because I've done something to them, or they have done something to me. When I see that person, I just go, "Oh, hi, how are you?" Right? No. We avoid people who we feel we have a tension, a struggle with. And I don't know who she had problems with in town, but she was going out in the middle of the day when it was the hottest to get some water. Now, we know water is important. We live in an area where it only rains 16 inches a year. And in Samaria, that's about how much it rained. So water was important. Important to cook, important to wash, important to water your garden, grow food, and for so many other things. I was looking up at Wikipedia, and Wikipedia tells us that water covers 71% of the Earth's surface and is vital for all known forms of life. On Earth, 96.5% of the planet's water is found in seas and oceans. That means what kind of water? Salt water. 1.7% in groundwaters, 1.7% in glaciers and the ice caps of Antarctica and Greenland. 2.5% of the Earth's water is fresh water. And 98.8% of that water is in ice and groundwater. Less than 0.03% of the Earth's fresh water is in rivers and lakes and the atmosphere. What was that? Thank you. That amount of water, fresh water, only 0.03% is found in lakes and rivers. And that's where most of us see our fresh water. So water was important for this woman, Samaritan woman. And Jesus was sitting by this well. When she looked, she thought, "Oh no, look who's here. A man." And not just a man, but a Jewish man. Samaritans and Jews, did they get along? They did not get along. In fact, they had not gotten along for over 500 years. They kept scores. Remember what you did to me? Yeah, but did you remember what you did to me back then? And the list was very long. The wounds were deep and fresh in many ways. And they reminded each other of what you did to me. The Samaritans at one point had tried to stop the rebuilding of the walls during the time of Nehemiah. They had said, no, king, you can't let them rebuild their city. They're a bad city. They're bad people. Remember what they did in the past? And I can imagine the Samaritans, once the Assyrians came and took over their land, And they were spread all over, and then they were invited to come back. They found new neighbors. Hey, that's my property. No, now it's mine. You guys left, and we had to take care of it. And so there was a lot of animosity between these two groups. But Jesus, he did not care. And when he saw that woman, he said the following, "Give me a drink." The lady was shocked, not because of what Jesus was asking, but shocked that a Jewish man would ask her, a Samaritan woman, for water. She was surprised. And Jesus, seeing her surprise, said the following. I invite you to go to John chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 10. "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who is it that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest asked of him, and he would have given thee," what? "Living water." If you only knew who I am, if you only knew what I can give you. In fact, I'll tell you what I can give you. I can give you living water. The woman said, "All right. Where's your bucket? You don't even have anything to draw water with. And I know this is the only well in town. And the well is very deep. So, where is your living water?" And she continued saying, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof, himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus, do you have something better to offer than our father Jacob? This was his gift to us. What is it that you're offering?" And Jesus answered and said unto her, verse 13, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall" what? "Thirst." "Shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." She looked at him. And this is what I imagine. Okay, that's a big claim you're making. I want some. You said you have it. I want it. I don't want to come back to this well to draw water from it every day. And while I'm walking to the well, I can hear the neighbors talking about me, saying things about me. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of just being thirsty all the time. There's nothing that satisfies. But the claim you're making is that you have living water and water that can give eternal life. I don't know. But if you have it, show it. Show it. I want some of that water. And Jesus said, "Well, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, You say well, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and him whom thou now hast is not your husband. In that you say the truth. Who are you? I think she was thinking. How do you know all this about me? Conversations. Which ones are the easier ones? The ones with people you don't know or with people you do know? I'll tell you my experience. I sit in a plane. I can talk up a storm. Probably you don't like those kind of people, right? Sitting next to you. You share for what? 20, 30, 40 minutes, and then what? Bye. All the best. It's over. And they got to see the best picture of me. Now, somebody who knows me for quite some time, that might not be the easiest of conversations. Especially if it's mom, your spouse, dad, a good friend. Can they tell when things are not going well? They can tell quickly. And they always ask, how are you doing? Was it a rough week? And you want to say, I don't want to talk about it right now. But, yeah, it wasn't such a good week. Grandmas, I don't know how they do it, but hey, what's going on? They can hear it in the voice. They don't even have to see you. They hear it. And here, Jesus was going straight to the bottom, straight to the core, and telling this woman, I'll give you if you bring back your husband. And Jesus not only told her, you don't have a husband, but you've had five others before. She was shocked. And this is what she says in verse 19. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art what? A prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. I do see you. You are somebody. I don't know exactly who you are, but I want to test you. Do you know? We worship here, and you, I know, worship in Jerusalem. So where should we worship? And Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I don't know what she was thinking, but I hope that she was thinking, that's me. I want to worship God. I want to know God. I want to do the right thing. I want to worship him according to what he has revealed to us in his word. I want to have an attitude of gratitude as I come before God. And as she heard those words of Jesus, I want to think she got a little shy or maybe a little nervous, but she took up enough courage and she said the following, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he is come, he will tell us all things. And what I think she was telling Jesus is, could it be that you're not just a prophet, but could it be that you are the Messiah? You revealed to me things that I knew about, some of my neighbors could have known about, but you, a Jewish man? And Jesus said to her what he did not say to any of the other people he had a conversation with. He told her, I that speak unto thee am he. I am. I am the Messiah. I am the Christ. And I want to think that there was this like huge moment of silence there. Her mouth drawn open. Just, I'm speaking to the Messiah. I'm speaking to the promised one. I'm speaking to one who can give me living water. Who can give me eternal life. Who can free me from my guilt, my shame. And you know what happens when the conversation is getting really good? The phone rings, the doorbell rings. You know, interruptions come. And the disciples were back with all their lunch and their water, and they're like, whoa, what's happening here? They marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou to Jesus, or why talkest thou with her? And the woman, she left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. But in the meanwhile, verse 31 tells us, his disciples were begging Jesus, come on, Jesus, have some of this food. We had a hard time getting this food. It wasn't easy finding it. It wasn't easy getting it prepared. Aren't you hungry? And Jesus could sincerely say, I am not hungry. I am satisfied. I'm satisfied. I am satisfied. And it tells us, he tells us why he was satisfied. Verse 34, my food is to do what? The will of him that sent me. And to finish his work. I am satisfied. I'm not thirsty. I'm not hungry. I am satisfied to do the will of God and to finish the work that he has given me. You see, disciples, he told them, 4 months and you think harvest is here. I tell you, lift up your eyes. The harvest is today. And many have gone before you, and they've sown the seed, and the plant has grown, and it's giving fruit. And you and I, we can partake of that fruit and have joy in the results of the work of others. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And verse 39 tells us, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him, for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode still 2 more days. I can see the disciples going, oh no, 2 more days here in Samaria. 2 more days. There was a lot of fruit in that city. Amen? And that was, I think, one of the first cities to actually accept Jesus as Messiah. One of the first cities that the disciples were able to go to after persecution broke out in Jerusalem. They came to Sychar, Shechem in Hebrew, and they were able to meet with many other Christians. And verse 42 tells us, and they said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Amen? Beautiful conversation between a Jewish man and a Samaritan woman. But more than a Jewish man, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. God wants to speak to us, doesn't he? And I don't know where he's going to meet you. Maybe it's going to be in the moment where we're trying to hide away from people we know. Maybe going through a difficult situation. But I find encouragement in this conversation because I find a God who is patient, a God who loves us, a God who wants to free us from all of the chains that we might have of guilt, shame, a God who can satisfy any of our needs. He can fill us up like no one or anything else can. And the Samaritan woman, who was she? She was a seeker. She was looking. She was tired of being thirsty and hungry. She had tried, but hadn't found it anywhere. But that day, by that well, she found something that satisfied her soul. I find encouragement. Do you? And the neat thing is that this Samaritan woman, she could have said, found it, I'm happy, too bad for you. You go look for it. She didn't keep it to herself, did she? She ran back. I want to think she went to the mayor of the city, or somebody who was important in that city. And she shared with him, hey, I want to share this very important fact. I just spoke with the Messiah. What? How do you know? He told me everything that I have done. Wow. And I think they knew everything that she had done. So that's pretty impressive. Let's go check this guy out. Who is he? And I'm sure he brought a lot of his buddies. And all of them were able to hear the same message of hope. The same message that you and I have received. Amen? Amen? The same message we are called to share in this world that we live in. A message of reconciliation. A message of eternal life. A message that God, he can satisfy all of your needs. Amen. Amen. I invite